Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
The world sees it rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets I used to own.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded. Some treatment and a breathalyzer or an inhalator, it would cost about the same as what we would spend over the course of 10 years. It would cost about the same as it would cost for about, hold on one second, I can't hear myself.
One side in this campaign has been telling us that the issues of this election are the maintenance of peace and prosperity. The line has been used, we've never had it so good.
I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
But I have an uncomfortable feeling that this prosperity isn't something on which we can base our hopes for the future.
The key point I'm making right now is that the economy is moving in a positive direction.
And yet our government continues to spend $17 million a day more than the government takes in.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer is yes, that's what I'm telling you.
We've raised our debt limit 3 times in the last 12 months. And now our national debt is 1.5 times bigger than all the combined debts of all the nations of the world.
We're going to raise the debt limit. We always have. We will do it again.
We have $15 billion in gold in our treasury. We don't own an ounce.
I have been informed by that the majority plans to block consideration of this amendment, which is number 1367, regarding the transparency at the Federal Reserve.
Foreign dollar claims are $27.3 billion.
It said that China has now surpassed Japan as the U.S. government's largest creditor, owning at least 10% of all U.S. debt. perhaps as much as $700 billion.
And we've just had announced that the dollar of 1939 will now purchase 45 cents in its total value.
President Obama is expected to face tough questions over the U.S. decision to pump $600 billion freshly printed dollars into its economy. Now, the move is an attempt to revive the country's finances, but will result in a devaluation of the dollar.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours,
you'll construct a legal regime to make indefinite detention legal.
History will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
For some trips, it'll be faster than flying, without the pat-down.
Anna was picked to go through. Pretty much everybody except the baby was picked to go through the scanner.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Damn America, that's in the Bible.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
I've got a core set of values that I think have to be advanced, and that my individual salvation depends on our collective salvation.
You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or a right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down.
We had an election, and it was about a direction for our country.
And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course. In this vote harvesting time, they use terms like the Great Society, or as we were told a few days ago by the president, we must accept a greater government activity in the affairs of the people.
E pluribus unum, out of many, one. In the end, that's what this election is about.
Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Over the course of 10 years, it would cost what it would cost us. It would cost us about the same as it would cost.
Well, good evening, folks, and welcome to another fun-filled and informative hour of the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Today's date, wow, where's this month gone? May 29th, 2012, beautiful Old Town Alexandria, United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. You know, I spent yesterday in Arlington National Cemetery. I worked my way through the wars, from the Civil War through Vietnam, through the first Iraq War, and on. I spent the entire day at Arlington. The entire day. I asked some of my friends and associates, and even some folks I didn't like at all, "Wait, what are your plans for today? What are your plans for Memorial Day?" "No, I'm going to a cookout. I think I got 10 cookouts, 2 barbecues, picnic, that kind of thing." It seems to me that the only way to tell the true meaning, the only way to assess the true meaning of Memorial Day is to notice that there's a war movie on, or something like that. I didn't hear anyone say that they'd spend the day like I did in introspection and reflection. Think of all the Civil War fighters on both sides who took up arms to fight for, well, whatever their version of freedom was. World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, of course, forgotten war. The first Iraq war, the second, and currently Afghanistan. Think about that. What is the true meaning of Memorial Day? Because I heard nothing but cookouts, picnics, stuff you can do any Sunday of the week, any Saturday, any Friday, hey, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can always have a cookout. But I wonder, and I didn't ask, well, is that it? Is that all there is? Just a cookout? Hot dogs, hamburgers, baked chicken, barbecue? Not one person I spoke to said that they were going to pay their respects to a dead warrior, a soldier, an airman, a marine, a Coast Guard person. Not one. So next year, around this time, Memorial Day, I'm going to ask again, hey, what are you going to do on Memorial Day? How do you plan to spend the day? And hopefully the answer will be in something along the lines of, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but something, I'd like to hear something along the lines of, well, in addition to enjoying the day with my family and friends, I plan to pay my respects to those who fought and died for our freedom so that we may enjoy this day. Hey, and put a slab of ribs on the barbecue for those warriors who are not here to celebrate with us. I know they would have liked to have been here, but you're having a cookout. You're chowing down. Now, on to our show topic. Will the 1991 biography or biography discovery force Obama to open the hood? From an article in the American Thinker. If you have a young child, you've probably watched Disney's Cars 2 about 1,000 times. For those who didn't know, at the movie's end, an obligatory spoiler for those of you who haven't seen it, Sir Miles Axelrod is exposed as a fraud when he's forced to open his hood by Mater, the tow truck. Three possibilities follow the bombshell discovery that Barack Obama was promoting in 1991 through 2007 by his professional agency as an author, quote, born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii, end quote. Number one, Obama untruthfully presented himself as a Kenyan born. Number two, Obama untruthfully presented himself as Hawaiian-born. And number three, Obama had no knowledge that his bio contained the 16-year-old error, which was corrected in April of 2007, when Obama was gearing up for his campaign for the U.S. presidency. Of the three possibilities, number three may be discarded as simply absurd. Everyone in the publishing industry knows that authors write their own bios. At the very least, authors approve their own bios. Mr. Obama's Acton and Distel bio is fairly lengthy and detailed. To believe that Obama had no knowledge, none, of the Born in Kenya era requires more than just believing he didn't sign off on it. We would also have to believe that Obama didn't care to read his bio in the 36-page promotional booklet after publication and distribution. This is also a bit beyond the pale. Did Obama get a copy? Of course he did. That's another publishing standard, after all. No, Roger Kimball wrote a little spoof of A&D's fact-checking era. And here it goes. An agency spokesman who claims to have been responsible for the, quote, Born in Kenya, end quote, wheezy, has publicly said that it was a mistake, a typographical error, a slip of the pen that just went unchecked for 16, 17 years. I can understand that. Yeah. She meant to write, quote, Hawaii, end quote, and wrote, quote, Kenya, end quote, instead. That can happen to anyone. They look and sound enough alike, don't they? They look and sound so much alike that no one noticed, not even Barack Obama. You meant to write there, and you wrote there instead. You meant to write cup, and you wrote supercrajulastolixifrasexpialidocious. Instead, no one in the literary agency, not the author himself, could be expected to notice. We all understand that, right? But beyond any reasonable doubt, the Kenyan birth information is supplied by Obama himself. And the bio was most likely written by Obama. At this point, we should pause to consider why this explosive story is being largely ignored by the mainstream news media. No matter how it's spun, when the dust settles, the story is a lose-lose for Obama. Either way, Obama's lied. And either way, the respective lie is no small matter. None. But some will have you believe that it is. It was just a slip of the pen. Some have speculated that Obama presented himself as Kenyan-born to fit his black liberation ideology, in context of promoting his yet-to-be-written Journeys in Black and White. Mark Stein writes, well, being born in Hawaii doesn't really help. It's entirely irrelevant to the twin pillars of contemporary black grievance, American slavery, European imperialism. To 99.99% of people, Hawaii is a luxury vacation destination and nothing else. Whereas Kenya puts you at the heart, the very heart of what in an otherwise notably orderly decolonization process by the British was a bitter, violent struggle against the white man's rule. The composite checks in deep, doesn't it? Others have noted that if Obama registered for college in the United States as a foreign student, either because he was adopted by his stepfather, Lolo Santoro, in Indonesia, or because he actually was born in Kenya, he pretty much had to go with the bio of the down for the struggle foreign author. Down. I'm down for the struggle, my man. Put up the fist. In aiding to the mystery, Obama's college vital passport and selective service records are guarded more securely than the golden Fort Knox. Why don't we know? He's the president of the United States of America. Why don't we know more about this guy? Why? Why? We have a caller on the line, and we're going to get to him in just a minute. At this point, let's hope that the establishment conservative press can finally get a handle on navigating the Obama secrecy issue skillfully and without fear. The entire issue has been wrongly framed. There's no burden on people to prove anything. Hell, I was a colonel in the United States Marine Corps. I may as well just say I was a four-star general. Call me General Jones. Because if I say it, it must be true. Right? Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Yeah, Doc, thanks for what you said about Memorial Day. I think it's really appropriate. That people don't take time to remember those who gave all of their tomorrows for our todays.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to celebrating, I realize now the very guys whom I was, because, you know, we came in out of the bush after like 3-4 weeks in the bush for our 1 week back while we rested and refit. These very guys would take out huge, enormous tubs of ice and stack them with beer, and they'd cost them as long as they could. So, you know, I guess I'd say, well, since these guys would be the very first to be up there guzzling beer, I don't mind if people would do it. I just wish that they would, you know, remember the guys who did. Just it'll take a little time in the midst of the revelry to say, hey, you know, you owe something to the memory of these guys. Or a little bit. Just tell somebody, ask somebody, a veteran, or remember his buddies, and tell you what he knew about them and what they did. And, you know, I think that would be appropriate.
I agree. We have on the line Sarge, who co-hosts a show on Blog Talk Radio. Sarge, tell us a little bit about the show and what time we can expect you guys.
Oh, well, you can tune in to 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, and you can hear all the madness that goes on there. We got a free-flowing, utterly unscripted show that can lead us into any pathway, for better or for worse. And I guarantee you'll find it compelling, even if you don't agree with everything we say. And again, that's 11:30 GGT Primetime Conservative with my co-host Cool Mike and Jermaine himself. And we explore just about anything and everything. I tell you, I'm not sure what it is. As a president, I'm not sure what it is we're going to be talking about, but we will be talking about something compelling. It doesn't matter. Just come on and see what it is.
No,
the show starts anyway. So.
No doubt. It's a free-for-all, and it's one of the best Blog Talk Radio shows available out of the thousands of Blog Talk Radio shows. It's almost always in the top 15, it's one of the best.
Your show's on, Doc, because you are a dean of erudition and information. And, man, you know.
Well, you're throwing out the $10 word. That's a $10 word.
Yeah.
What do you think about, Sarge, what do you think about this author's slip of the pen with regard to Barack Obama's biography? And moreover, what do you think about the secrecy surrounding Barack Obama's passport issues, his scholastic reports, all of that stuff? I mean, it's been brought out that the Hawaii has verified Barack Obama's birth, and so that issue is considered dead. What do you think about that?
And they just look. The state of Hawaii just confirmed that what Barack Obama put on the web is a forgery. They've reinforced the suspicions about his provenance and everything about it. They didn't. Anybody who's paying attention, they should know that what they put out there is an absolute. It's what is it, misdirection? What is misdirection? They confirmed the birth certificate is a forgery. Now, in response to this finding, the finding by Sheriff Joe Pyle. That's where it originally started. Let's not forget. Sheriff Pyle whole case posse, putting up almost scientific proof that the long-form birth certificate Barack Obama released to the American public on April 27th is, in fact, a crude and poor forgery, along with the Selective Service registration card. Mm-hmm. But more open than that, in response to this finding, the Arizona Secretary of State, Ken Bennett, asked Hawaii to verify the information listed on that document. Now, after months of stonewalling Bennett, months, they sent him a verification of birth in May, on May 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They could not and did not. This is vital, folks. Listen to me. If you look at the verification form they sent back, they didn't send back a copy of what they report what they have on file in Hawaii. They sent back a verification form, which wasn't even signed, initialed by the principal whose name was rubber stamped on it. It was initialed by somebody named G.K. Alvin Anaka's signature was stamped on it. I guess so he can have plausible not deniability when the cow pie hits the fan. But what this document says is that they didn't verify his birthday or his birth year. That's not verified by what? Which, by the way, is critical to determining whether or not you're constitutionally eligible to be president, because it's this, that you be 35 years of age. Now, I don't have much doubt that Obama is at least 35 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
I think, however, he's been lying about his birthday. In fact, it slipped at a press conference. Remember when he said in a couple of weeks he was going to be 51 or 50?
Yeah.
And people said, oh, wait, this doesn't jive with the date of your birth because it's off by 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks premature. The reason I suspect that, you know, when you lie so much like this guy, and you're not that bright, your brain's probably been frazzled by doing too much cocaine,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of hard for all of your lies straight.
Yeah.
This guy may be 3 weeks older than he actually is, which might be the difference between the time he was born in Kenya and the time his mother felt he was fit to travel on an aircraft.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if he had a late or altered birth certificate, has Hawaii law under Hawaii Department of Health, Chapter 338 allows you to do. In other words, you can go before Lieutenant Governor or another appropriate official in Hawaii, and you can have your birth certificate altered if you have one already. In other words, you could correct some facts, you know, kind of like when you're correcting a literary agent's, quote, mistake, unquote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can go before an official and swear to certain, and they will alter your birth certificate. However, when they do that, they have to put this big, big, huge stamp on it. Near
mm-hmm.
the signature of the registrar, late or altered. Late or altered. I suspect that's what's in Hawaii's file. I suspect those are the facts that are on the file, a late altered birth certificate, which the Hawaii Department of Health, Alvin Anaka, or his proxy, verified, because that's all. Late and altered birth certificate, boom, that's what we have on file. However, a late or altered birth certificate has no probative value, none, zero. Under Hawaii law, it has no probative value until it goes before an adjudicatory hearing officer of some sort, either in a court, a trial, some sort of hearing in which a legal determination is made by some sort of adjudicatory hearing officer that this birth certificate is probative and has probative value. I suspect that's why he's not letting us look at it, because we'll know he altered it when he was covering his tracks to run for the presidency. That's what he was doing. That's why the whole thing with the literary agent stayed on there three different times, 1991, 1998, and 2007. 2007 and three separate releases on the literary agent's website. They were still saying he was born in Kenya, uncorrected from 1991 till 2007, when it was changed as he was planning to run for the presidency.
So this issue hasn't been resolved, and there's just simply more fuel. They've added more fuel to the fire. The guy's bona fides are simply suspect. He's suspect, and it's not being reported on accurately, if at all, by anyone except bloggers and conservative radio and news organizations.
Right. You must realize, Doc, that Bennett also asked the state of Hawaii to verify that the attached copy of the certificate of live birth for Mr. Obama is a true and accurate representation of the original record in your files.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked testify to confirm that the attached document is identical to the original Hawaii claims they have. They told the state of Hawaii, because remember, Obama sent his lawyer, a woman named Judy Corley. She went to Hawaii. She had two photocopies of the original, what purported to be, two original photocopies of the original birth certificate, which he posted one of them on the White House website.
Mm-hmm.
And then attached a print of that photocopy, print out of that photocopy, which should be identical to the original if it wasn't old, late, or altered. But yet Hawaii could not confirm that it met. They responded that you have to change your request. We will not verify that you that portion of your request. They insisted that Bennett change his request about verifying the original. Imagine.
So
wouldn't verify it. In other words, they literally would not respond to Bennett's request to verify that what Obama gave the world was his original birth certificate. They said, nope, not until you reword your request.
You know,
day of birth, I can't get over this. They did not confirm his day of birth. He had that altered.
Has there ever been a president or presidential candidate whose bona fides were so clouded in mystery?
There's no mystery for me. There's some sort of forgery and deception going on. There's fraud going on. I'm not mystified at all. The only question is precisely what are the dimensions of the fraud and the deceit. That is the only question, not whether it has occurred. I have absolutely no doubt it's occurred. I'm positive to a moral certainty. Stake my life and die on the hill, sure. There's been fraud, deceit, forgery, deception, you name it. Treason, constructive treason by many. I have no doubt of it.
How can we have a, how is it that we've allowed this to happen, that it's come to this where I believe that with any other candidate, any other presidential candidate, let's just start in 2007 and Barack Obama was not the candidate and some other person was running for office. If that person's bona fides were under such a heavy cloud, do you think, as I do, that he would have been exposed? And why wasn't Barack Obama? Why isn't he exposed? I mean, he's exposed, but why isn't the mainstream media simply exposing this guy for who he is and what he is?
It's a number of perfect storm factors all coming together at the same time. The tremendous, tremendous amount of political correctness from the racial industrial complex and others in the cultural Marxist left. A perfect confluence of factors coming together. A horrible candidate from the Republican Party, one of the worst they've ever put up in my living memory. Literally awful, awful. You know, Dewey is a better candidate than John McCain. Just a horrible candidate. Internationalist, apparently growing influence of internationalists in our government. So many factors all coinciding as one that gives us this guy, along with the cultural Marxist infiltration of the mainstream journalist left, who wanted somebody like him, a man who would not only just support abortion, support infanticide, and all sorts of liberal shibboleths that they were certain he would bring to fruition in this quest to fundamentally transform this country. They were determined, come hell or high water, to make sure the American people bought this guy in and to convince him, even though if the dogs knew how the dog food really tasted, they wouldn't eat. They made sure that the dogs never got to taste the dog food. They didn't vet him. They ensured he wouldn't be vetted. We got him all handsome with a nice big smile, and we're told, of course, that he's just the greatest intellect the White House has ever seen.
Oh, my God, a genius, the smartest man in the room.
Much less compared to anybody else, this guy is perfect. He's absolutely a god, the apotheosis of everything liberalism can bring to you and be for you. Looking back on it now, I'm amazed. One of the things I will have put on my tombstone, Doc, is I will have it put, I resisted all of this. I didn't fall for it for a microsecond. It never had me in its grip. I didn't have to say I regret the fact that he fooled me. I was never fooled one second. It's the one thing I'm going to insist. I think I'd rather have that on my tombstone more than my military and combat service to this country.
No doubt.
Through Barack Obama before, as soon as he was coming on the scene, when he was my state senator, I knew what a piece of human what he was.
Sarge, African newspapers, officials, the paternal family members have indicated that Obama was born in Mombasa. Now, there are no living witnesses to Obama's Hawaiian birth. There's the island state with the documented history of registering foreign births as Hawaiian. There were ambiguous and misleading words of its officials concerning what the Department of Health has in its archives relating to Obama. There was Obama's sideshow spectacle of uploading his birth certificate to the internet in 2008, only to abruptly released the reported non-existent birth certificate in 2011 again online after fighting its production in court after court for over 3 years. Why isn't the mainstream media reporting this? I mean, you answered the question, and you answered it to my satisfaction, but I ask it again because if, in fact, we have this sort of goings on at the highest level of our government, one would think that any patriot to this country would want to see this sort of thing addressed because, to my mind, Sarge, if we have a president of the United States who is even in the slightest suspect, and his bona fides are called into question of this magnitude from every minute detail, one would think that this country is in grave jeopardy. We should want to know who it is we have put at the head of the most powerful government on earth.
Well, here's the problem, Doug. The problem's going to be there are going to be consequences when this is exposed. There are going to be consequences. Now, the question is what the extent of those consequences are going to be. There are going to be people who are going to have to go to jail or be prosecuted. It's almost axiomatic and automatic. They knew it. They were in on the cover-up, and they're at high levels of government in both parties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. That's one of the consequences. Another consequence is the possibility of the turmoil revealing him and taking the necessary action to either undo his presidency or just kick him out of office practically unceremoniously will entail with large segments of our population. I'm not necessarily speaking racially or demographically. And I'm saying many of those who enable his rise in the first place, yes, constituencies that just don't want to see him gone, no matter what the reason, it won't matter what the reason. If they just don't want, they want him there. They want him to get away with this. No matter what, doesn't matter what the truth is. That's another potential consequence.
Go ahead.
Undoing all of the legislation he has signed, with all the money that's already spent as a consequence of, and so on and so forth, and what that entails, it's enormous. I understand why even people who didn't have anything to do with their dishonesty don't want to face this, because of the consequences that will entail. But they must be faced. And we've got to bite the bullet when it comes. It's going to kill this country. But, you know, there are manifold reasons why people don't want to deal with this. Manifold. Some of them are people who just don't want this country to be brought to the verge of ruin by this utterly worthless piece of human debris who calls himself President of the United States. There are people out there who are complicit in it, don't want their exposure, their part in it to be exposed. One of the worst things I've ever seen. I really can't think of much worse than this as far as our governance is concerned.
Hello?
No doubt. We have another caller on the line. Caller, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
This is Karen Hunter.
Hey, Karen, is that you?
Sorry.
Have you made it into town?
Okay.
Hello, Karen. All right. We'll put Karen on hold for just a moment. I had a thought the other night, Sarge. If Obama is exposed as a fraud and has committed fraud to run for and succeed in winning the White House, if he's exposed, what happens then? It's a two-part question. Can everything that he signed, every piece of legislation, every signing statement, every executive order, can that be declared null and void? I mean, you're a student of the Constitution. I presume you would know the answer.
We were in uncharted waters, Doc. I got to admit, this here is utterly uncharted waters. You know, everything will be precedental in that, at least as far as finding a practical application to a quote undoing, unquote, Obama's presidency. But I would speculate that, of course, not all of it can be undone. Some things, you know, you can't take back his decision to send a drone up all of Lockheed's ass. I mean, that's done. Cannot be undone. Much of the money that's been spent as a result of his signature cannot be gotten back. Probably much of it can, but certainly not, most of it. But to the extent that it can be done, it must be done. You go back over everything that you can find. You go back over everything that's possible to undo, and you simply undo it, because everything he did, allegedly on the basis of his constitutional authority when he signed the law, when he made an executive order, whatever he did on the basis, I'm the 44th president of the United States, was done on the basis of constitutional authority. If he didn't have the constitutional authority to undo the job, to take the job in the first place, we haven't had a president.
Yeah.
So, of course, everything he did is invalid. Everything. And to the extent that it can be, it must be undone and re-engineered if you want it through a proper president, proper constitutional and executive authorization. There is no other credible answer that can be. To the extent that it can be, it must be undone, and it will not be complete. But to the extent that it's humanly possible, everything he did for these 3 years, every day makes it worse. And remember, every day makes it worse.
Yeah,
it has to be undone.
So, Sarge, now we have dueling evidence here. Ken Bennett, Arizona Secretary of State, and Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Now, Bennett has said that this case is closed regarding Obama's birth certificate. Yet, Sheriff Joe believes that Obama's investigative team has revealed a blatant forgery of Obama's Selective Service Registration form and his birth certificate. How do we reconcile the two? If the Secretary of State has said that the matter is closed and Obama can be on the ballot, and Sheriff Joe Arpaio has revealed Obama's bona fides to be fraudulent, where do we go from here?
Look, somebody, either the Republican National Committee, John McCain, somebody put a horse head in Ken Bennett's bid. That's what happened. He's buckling. You know, he's been gotten to. They made him come to Christ, come to Satan, whatever it is they did, and they got him to turn around. Joe Arpaio doesn't care. He's one of the toughest men I've ever seen.
Yeah.
A man of more courage and integrity, I think, than anywhere. He said, and his chief investigator, Mike Zulu, said they have uncovered more information. This press conference they're going to give in about 2 weeks in August, about the middle of August, they say they're going to give, has uncovered information that is more shocking than the first. And the first one was a bombshell that many people just chose to ignore. I believe him. I don't think they're making anything up. They say they've been digging around back in the back alleys. They've gotten cooperation from the Honolulu Police Department. State of Hawaii has been, like, giving them the cold, cold shoulder. But they've been getting cooperation from Honolulu PD and where to go and what places to look, who to see. They've been asking questions. They say now they've gotten more information. I believe him. I don't think he's making it up. I think what's available on the fraud of this man and his enablers is like an iceberg. What you see is huge and enormous, but what's below the waterline is even more vast. And I think they're just probably chipping at the surface of what's below the waterline. They're going to come up with more information. There's going to be more stuff for the mainstream media to ignore and more stuff for these cowards who say they are sworn constitutional officers to ignore and not do anything about. And, you know, all this is going to keep percolating like, you got a loose fitting lid on a pot that's, you know, got boiling water and trickling. That's what's going on. It's about ready to blow off. It is. They know it. They're in panic mode. The state of Hawaii, these officials, like I said, with this little cute verification thing they came up with, they're looking for a way to cover their behind. The verification is a non-verification and crucial aspects of verifying if someone is constitutionally eligible. It doesn't provide the information. They made the Secretary of State reword his request to deflect attention from the fact that that birth certificate is probably altered. What they have on file was probably created in 2006, between 2006 and 2008, and it says so, late or altered.
Wow.
I mean, I'm looking at the stuff. I'm looking at a copy of the document, verification of birth.
Yeah.
The date of birth is not the thing of it. They verified when he was born by time, which is something he could have said for his later altered birth certificate. But the date of birth, which is required to be legally proven under certain criteria under Hawaii law in order to have legally probative status, did not meet the requirements when he made his late and altered certificate. Probably because, you know, it does not verify with anything he provided the secretary. They couldn't properly verify that even by their loose standards.
Yeah.
So we don't know what date he was born on. And it's probably 3 weeks, as I said before, it's probably 3 weeks earlier than he claims. It's not August 4th. It's probably sometime in June or July.
So Sheriff Joe comes out in a couple of weeks. When do you say he's going to have his press conference?
He's having his press conference in the middle of June, some 2 weeks or so into June. And we are going to see, what he has to say and how much, like I said, the mainstream press is going to run. Donald Trump is on board with this now.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is apparently full bore that he's got a phony birth certificate. He's probably prepared to finance Trevor Powers' cold case process.
I suspect that there are quite a few folks who are lining up to help that out. But how do you think?
I'm going to give you guys a link here. I'm posting in the chat room a link.
Okay.
For Joel Pyle's update from the state of Hawaii. You can hear what Mike Zullo has to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't pretty for Obama. It ain't pretty for Obama.
How do you think this is all going to affect the election coming out in just what, 5 months from now? 5.5 months?
You know,
I mean, there's so many other factors put in play.
I'm afraid to say because the cover-up is, I mean, the blackout of the mainstream press is so absolutely complete.
Mm-hmm.
I just never seen the like. I've never seen the like. I've never seen anything like this.
No, never.
I don't know if it's going to affect the election in time. I know one thing. The facts are going to be out there about him, I believe, before the election comes around. And the only question is, are people going to decide to look at the truth and take the appropriate action? That's the only question I have. I think all of it's going to be – Apayo and his investigators are dogged. They're going to have to kill him to keep him from revealing what they know.
Yeah, I was thinking something along the lines of something that would occur in a movie script if something were to happen to Sheriff Joe. I know that Eric Holder has decided to prosecute Joe for civil rights violations and that sort of thing.
I think the civil suit they're taking out again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking, Sarge, that that you and GGT are going to probably have a lot to talk about with regard to this issue also over the next few weeks. It's just a guess, though. All of this information, all of the mystery surrounding President Obama, all of the cloudiness, it should affect a great number of the electorate. It should, especially the independents. You know, I know that there are those out in the world who out in this country who will say, well, you know, who really cares about that stuff? He's doing a good job. You know? Go ahead. Did you choke? Did you choke?
Good job. Yeah, man. Please, 911, call 911 for me. God. Put the link. Good job.
Yeah. Got it.
And there are blacks who believe you're doing a good job. I mean, you're right. You're right. They're deluded, insane Obamians, and there's nothing you can say to them to convince them otherwise, and it's probably no point in even trying to discuss it. All we can do is just reveal what his record actually shows and then say the only person who can say such a thing is deluded and or a member of a cult.
Yeah,
so I got
the Obama cult.
To a sheriff, Ohio's posse member, Mike Zullo. And listen, you can click on that link and see what he has to say about this, and I can guarantee you. There's also, that site also has a great deal of information.
I got it.
It's really a great site, great videos on there, great information. It's almost a one-stop shopping for the facts on this issue, the Berger Report.
I appreciate putting it up in the chat room. I'm probably going to have to do a show, you know, related exclusively to this. It looks pretty good from here, you know, based on from what I've seen so far. I mean, it looks like a treasure trove of information. I hope a lot of folks who are listening to the show, a lot of the guests there, and some of the other folks in the chat room will take a look at it and pass it on. You know, I believe that, Sarge, that this country has sunk to the depths of its moral, I don't know, I can't even find the right words, to elect a man whose past is so shrouded in mystery, whose records are sealed. Scholastic records, whose birth certificate has been called into question. I have not, you know, I've been on this earth 50 years as of January 1st. And, you know, I've searched the records of presidential candidates going all the way back to, Woodrow Wilson. And I've not found any, not one instance of a president or a presidential candidate, bona fides, ever being called into question. Not one. You know, but this president, it just seems he's such a shady character with such a shady background, with a background that's shrouded in mystery. I just can't understand how he came to be elected in the first place. What was the electorate thinking?
They saw a chance to expiate America's most grievous original sin, the sin of slavery, and racism, and bigotry, and segregation, and Jim Crow, and all blah, 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 all of that. Here was a chance to put it all behind us with this uniter.
Yeah.
This cultural Marxist, usurpacious uniter.
Somehow
he's really brought together, haven't he? I mean, racially, we're really more harmonious now than when he first came in. You know, he who, if he had a son, it would look like Trayvon. Oh,
yeah.
And the sons he talks about. Yeah, well, what's up with him twice in two speeches?
Yeah.
He talks about sons.
Yeah,
that he
two sons.
Have according to, at least according to his word.
Yeah. I don't know, Sarge.
This guy is the most – it's absolutely incredible. You say, if I was to write something, we'd elect something like Barack Obama. We'd elect a creature like this to the President of the United States. Are you crazy? American people have more sense and intelligence than that. There's too much information available for the American people to be bamboozled by something like this.
Yeah.
And I would have said that 10 years ago.
I don't think, Sarge, that Americans – especially those on the left, have been bamboozled at all. I believe that you're absolutely right. They know this guy's shady. They know this guy's past is shrouded in mystery. They understand that there's something not right with this guy, but he's doing the work that they want done. You know, they like you said, and you put it properly, he's doing what they wanted to do for a long time. And that is bring this country, from my point, bring this country to its knees, to bring this country to heel.
Now, just think for a minute, Doc. Now, here's a guy who's over here decrying the treatment of Vietnam veterans, old like me, you know, baby yeah. killers, mm-hmm. you know, rapists, monsters, slaughtering civilians, whatever we possibly could at every turn,
mm-hmm.
you know, the drugged out dopers, you know. You know, he's decrying, oh, what an awful what they did to those poor Vietnam veterans. The people he runs with were some of the biggest enablers of that conduct ever. They were on the front lines in the leadership of it.
What I wonder, Sarge, is what they were thinking about when he was giving that speech. You know, because basically he just stabbed him in the back, because they were, I'm sure that the liberals who were shouting baby killer and spitting on soldiers coming back, like yourself coming back from a war in Vietnam, they certainly couldn't have expected him to utter the words that he did.
They would have. And because after all, you know, I think the consensus among the American people today is that it was utterly inexcusable.
Yeah.
To, even if you assume the war in Vietnam was a failure, that we should never have entered into it, it should never have been attributed the failures and any egregious conduct of the war and any improper motives for the war should never have fallen upon the backs of the soldiers. Soldiers
yeah.
followed the orders. That's all they did, at the behest of their representative government.
Exactly.
So they can understand it. Since most American people, the vast majority of American people, believe that absolutely now that
yeah.
Barack Obama would have to, you know, pay lip service to
mm-hmm.
this new
mm-hmm.
people. And they say, well, okay, we understand you got to say this, you know. But you still better knock Vietnam because, after all, it was a fight against communism, and you're a dedicated Marxist.
No doubt. Sarge, we've got just about 3 minutes left. Please, once again, announce the show that's coming up with you and GGT tonight at 11:30 on the Conservative Primetime. Well, I just did. So hopefully folks will be able to get some coffee in them like I try to do almost every night, but somehow I can't manage it. I get up at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. I just run out of gas, guy. But I love your shows, and I listen to them, you know, when they're put up in the chat room, and they are so excellent, and oftentimes they're a riot, but always informative. Just an excellent show. GGT and 2020 Radio Network and so many others. Annie, Southern Sense, great radio shows. I try hard to live up to the standards of your great show, radio shows. But you guys are hard act to follow. Anyway, thank you so much, Sarge, for calling in and providing your wit and wisdom and knowledge. We are done for the day. Please tune in tomorrow where we'll continue this conversation. I hope everyone has a great evening. Thanks again, Sarge. I say good night, man.
Good night.
All right, guys. All right. Have a great night. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. We're out.